Last week we talked of the work of the Holy Spirit in the world, in the convicting of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, drawing men to Jesus Christ. Tonight we wish to continue the subject of the work of the Holy Spirit in the world as we see Him as the restraining force against evil. The Bible tells us that there is one final great battle to be fought before Satan is forced to give over the control of the earth to the Lord. And at the present time, Satan is mustering his forces for this final conflict, in which I feel that Satan is deceived into thinking that he is going to win. Revelation chapter 19, verse 19. John said, "And I saw the beast," that is the Antichrist, "and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him," that is Jesus Christ, "that sat on the horse, and against his army." So there is this one final conflict before the Lord establishes God's kingdom upon the earth. In Revelation 13:2, John said, "And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon," or Satan, "gave him his power, his throne, and great authority." This is a reference to the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, that will soon come on the scene to take over the governments of the world. Satan endows him with Satan's power. He gives to him his throne, and he also gives to him great authority. Originally, the earth was the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He created it. When God created man and placed him upon the earth, God said, "Let us make man and give him dominion over the earth." And so God gave to man that dominion or rule over the earth. But man surrendered that dominion unto Satan in his double action of disobedience to the command of God, which was in essence obedience to the suggestion of Satan to eat the forbidden fruit. Paul said in Romans 6:16, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you become, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" And when Adam yielded himself in obedience unto Satan, he became a servant of Satan, and thus Satan gained dominion over the earth. He rebelled against the authority of God and the commandment of God. And it was a double action of disobedience and rebellion to the commandment of God, but in the same token, it was obedience to the suggestion of Satan. Man became a servant of sin unto death, and Satan gained the rule over the earth, the dominion. Now, God sent his Son in order to redeem the world back to God. And when Satan took Jesus up to the high mountain, he showed him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he offered them to Jesus if Jesus would just bow down and worship him. For Satan boasted, "They are mine, and I can give them to whomever I will." Now this is manifested in this verse 2 of chapter 13 of Revelation, when we find that the dragon or Satan gives to the Antichrist, the beast, his power, his throne, and great authority. Satan said, "It's mine, I can give it to whomever I will." Jesus did not dispute that. He recognized that Satan was the prince of this world. He called him such. But Jesus had come to redeem the world back to God. And by his death upon the cross, he paid the price for our redemption. For we are redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold from our vain manner of living, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who was slain as a lamb without spot or blemish. So, Jesus, through the virtue of his death upon the cross, paid the price for the redemption of this world. But in Hebrews 2:8, the writer said, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his," that is Jesus' "feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." We don't yet see it. He hasn't yet laid claim to that which he purchased. In the meantime, and we will deal with this more fully at a later discussion, in the meantime, he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the down payment, so to speak, the earnest of our inheritance until he redeems his purchased possession. The Lord has redeemed me. I belong to him. He hasn't yet claimed me and taken me home. But in the meantime, he has given to me the Holy Spirit to show that he is earnest in his intent to redeem me fully and completely and to claim me as his own. So God has put all things in subjection unto Jesus. We don't yet see all things in subjection. He hasn't yet taken the authority that is his to reign. Now in Revelation chapter 5, we find him doing that. We find him coming, taking the scroll out of the right hand of him who sits upon the throne, as his worthiness is declared. But that is a yet future event. We do not yet see the world in subjection unto Jesus Christ. In fact, the world lies in the wicked one, even to the present time. God, for his own reasons and purposes, has left Satan in control over the present evil world system. That during this time in which Satan is still in control, those who desire to serve God, to live with God, can be redeemed from the power of sin through Jesus Christ, can be sealed with the Holy Spirit, and can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so waiting then for that day. But we are living in an unredeemed world as yet. But being redeemed, living in this unredeemed world that is still under the power of Satan, we find ourselves in the midst of a spiritual warfare. And it is becoming more pronounced every day. Satan is mustering his forces for this final battle. And he is manifesting his power as never before. Satan is seeking to destroy all of the influence of Jesus Christ from this earth. And thus, that also entails the destroying of the Christians and their influence of righteousness. We are in a battle. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. You are to be a purifying influence. You're to prevent the rottenness. But if the salt has lost its savor, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man." We are in a heavy spiritual battle. Modern technology has brought the darkness of the world right into our homes by way of television, by way of radio. And the church of Jesus Christ has been extremely weakened by compromise with the world. When Jesus was writing to his faithful church of Philadelphia, he said, and that is the true church in the last days, he said, "Thou hast a little strength." That's all. We're not a great, mighty force and power for righteousness. Would to God we were. But there's been too much leaven, even within the church. And the church's position, as far as the world is concerned, has been extremely weakened as a result of so many compromises. It is Satan's strategy to bring all of the governments of the earth under the control of one man who is in the Bible referred to as the man of sin, the son of perdition, the one man that Satan will vest with his powers, with his throne, and with his authority. And so Satan's instrument to rule the world and through this man be worshipped by the world is called in the Bible by various names. The beast is the name generally used in Daniel and Revelation. John refers to him as the Antichrist. Paul calls him the man of sin and the son of perdition. Now, as he has been vested with the powers of Satan, he will be able to work all kinds of supernatural signs and wonders by which he will astound the world. He'll be able to do miraculous things. In Matthew 24:24, Jesus declared, For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, Paul said, even him, that is the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Satan gives him his power. And so he comes with all of these powers and signs and lying wonders. Revelation 13:11, as it speaks of the false prophet who will work together with the Antichrist, I beheld another beast, that is the false prophet, coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke as a dragon. And he exercised all of the power of the first beast before him. And he caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Daniel tells us, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. It'll be the power of Satan, the power of darkness. And he shall destroy awesomely, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. And through his policy, he shall cause craftiness to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. He will be a violent enemy of God. He will speak blasphemous words against God. Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and he will think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, and times and the dividing of time, or for 3.5 years. Daniel 11:36, and the king, that is the Antichrist, will do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation or the great tribulation period is accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, speaking of this man of sin, son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Revelation 13:5. There was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And we then read that he will make war against the Jews, who will be known as the saints and God's elect in that day. The church will already have been raptured out. We will deal with that in a moment. It was given to him power to make war with the saints, Revelation 13:7, and to overcome them. Power was given him over all of the kindreds and tongues and nations. Daniel 7:21, I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Now, Jesus, in speaking of his church in Matthew 16, upon Peter's confession that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church of Jesus Christ, though weak, shall still prevail. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the church will prevail. However, when the Antichrist comes on the scene and makes war with the saints, he will overcome them. He will prevail against them, thus showing that those saints cannot be the church. But they are what are called many times tribulation saints. And for the most part, the Jews who will turn to Jesus Christ during this period of great tribulation. The Antichrist will rule over all the earth. Revelation 13:7. "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all of the kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Daniel 7:24. "And the 10 horns out of this kingdom," that is the final federation of nations in a world governing empire, 10 kings combining together, "the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them," the 11th, "he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, think to change the times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of the time." Revelation 17:16. "Again, the 10 horns, the 10 kings, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore," the false church, "shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast." So God has put in their heart to turn the world over to the rulership of this man, unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now he will inaugurate a new system of exchange where money will be done away with. He will usher in a cashless society. Now, a few years back, I used to talk about a cashless society, and everybody sort of scratched their head. They said, "Oh, a cashless society. Who ever heard of that?" Well, who hasn't heard of that now? If you read the business section of the newspapers, surely you've come across this. If you've read Forbes magazine, surely you've come across this. We are hearing more and more of the cashless society. I noticed just this past week in the grocery store that it has a sign up there. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discovery cards. I mean, it's all there. And more, I find people standing who are in the line are giving their cards. And the registers now, they can take their cards and a little receipt, and they sign the receipt. And more, we're moving towards this cashless society. Listen what the Bible has to say. "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." At home in my drawer, I have a little plastic, looks sort of like a squirt gun. But it has a little needle, and it is a little device to inject these little transmitters, which are about a half of an inch long and a fraction of an inch wide, and some of them are even smaller, but to insert these little chips, microchips, or transponders right under the skin. Now, with these and with the satellites that are up there, they can trace and triangulate and find anybody who has one of these little transmitters anywhere in the world. I have one of these devices at home designed to inject these little transmitters under the skin. This microchip, of course, can have all kinds of information concerning you. Your bank balance. Or whatever. You say, I'm not worried about that. I don't have any. People are becoming reluctant, and rightfully so, to carry cash anymore because of the fact that crime is really out of control. The ideal answer is to go to a computerized transactions. We're already doing it. We're doing it now with cards. But it will be a very simple step to move it to identity that is affixed upon a person's body, right hand or forehead. With this new health program that they are touting, in order to make certain that you have a right for the health care, they are talking about everyone receiving a national kind of an identity card or some kind of an identity. Children now at birth are given social security numbers. I mean, the whole thing is coming down. Where are we? Well, as we look at the world, it is rapidly moving toward this one world government. We hear words such as global community, global economy, global banks, global action. I mean, we're hearing it all the time. We're moving towards the global world, a one world government. These terms are constantly being used in the media until they have become very common for us to hear. We talk about the necessity of global cooperation. We talk about the necessity of united efforts to go in and stop the war in Bosnia, and how it's necessary to have a global army, a global peace force, and more the United States is surrendering its troops to control of the UN and the generals and so forth of the UN, not necessarily the United States, as we are moving towards this global effort to bring global peace. With the weapons of destruction that have been developed by modern technology, they realize the only hope for survival of mankind is through global government. There are powerful forces here in the United States known as the Council for Foreign Relations and the Trilateralist, who have as their goal this global government and are in a position to move our nation into the cooperation and submission to the global authority. More and more powers are being given to the UN. Laws, world laws that supersede the laws of the states or the independent governments. With the crime rate rising as it is, out of control, the only way that can effectively stop all of the robberies, the drug dealings, is to get rid of money. It is estimated that the government is losing billions of dollars every year in uncollected taxes. So if all of the transactions to buy or sell were made by computerized identity numbers, then they'll be able to trace everything that you bought or you sold and it'll eliminate stealing money because money will be worthless. I have in my office a $500 billion bill. It's the largest bill ever printed. $500 billion. Of course, it's Serbian. It is becoming a collector's item. I'm going to keep it. It's worth about $8 now with collectors because it's the largest bill ever printed. And so it's becoming sort of popular with some of the people who collect those kind of things, you know. And so they say it's worth $8 now in Germany as a collector's item. The banks are calling for a cashless society. The businesses are moving towards a cashless. In fact, I'm still one of those rare individuals that pay cash, and I usually shock them. You know, do you want to put this on your charge card? No, I'll pay cash. You know, you still take it? Well, yeah, but... Things are really pretty much in place for this surrender into the world system, world government. They are definitely in place to eliminate money as a means of exchange and to go to the cashless society. That could happen any week. You could, any time, you can pick up the morning paper and you'll read that you have 2 weeks to turn in all of your cash. After 2 weeks, it'll have no value. In fact, this is being proposed right now, and if you turn in more than $5,000 in cash, then you will have to fill out an IRS form and so forth because they wonder why you've got that much cash. And so... this has already been proposed, and it could happen overnight, and it will happen overnight. You won't be given any warning of this, but just one day you'll pick up the morning newspaper and it'll say, you know, cash is to be eliminated in 2 weeks. And you have 2 weeks to turn in all of your money and into the account the number to count, and things are in place. What's the delay? What's holding back these powers and forces of darkness that are wanting to take over the full control of the earth? Here we have the work of the Holy Spirit in the world, restraining these powers of darkness and hindering them from inaugurating their final man of power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hinders will hinder until he is taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The Holy Spirit is hindering, standing in the way, restraining these powers of evil until he is taken out of the way, and immediately the wicked one then shall be revealed. Now, it is actually the Holy Spirit in the life of the believers that is the hindering force. Some say, well, it's just the Holy Spirit. No, it's the Holy Spirit in the church, in the life of the believers. And as soon as the church is taken out of this world, there will be no more restraining forces against evil. No more voices against evil. The restraining force of the church will be removed, and immediately, once the church is removed, this man of sin will take over his powers that will be given to him by Satan. And the world will be plunged into darkness such as the world has never seen before, or will, thank God, ever see again. It is only the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church that is keeping Satan from this final thrust to gain absolute control over all the earth and plunging the world into its darkest hour. The mystery of iniquity is already at work. We see it. We see the decaying effects of sin. We see it everywhere. The spirit of Antichrist is all around us. Jesus Christ is being mocked, being scorned, being ridiculed and derided. A cultus is now being defined in governmental circles as one that believes that the Bible is the inerrant word of God and that Jesus is coming again. If you believe these things, you are now being classified as a cultist. And such beliefs gain you the title of a religious fanatic. And this is a term, watch for it, for they acknowledge the greatest hindrance to this move towards the absolute control over the world. The greatest hindrance are the religious fanatics. And you hear a lot of groups being termed as religious fanatics. And religious fanaticism has been branded as one of the greatest evils in the world today. And one of the greatest threats to peace come from the religious fanatics. The thing that is holding back the New Age are the religious fanatics. And there is a movement towards the eradication of the religious fanatics in order that there will be nothing to hinder. Well, there is a master plan to remove a good portion of the religious fanatics. And then will the powers of evil have their day. But unbridled evil cannot last long. A society with unbridled evil cannot exist for any length of time. And so once the power of the Holy Spirit within the church is removed, no longer restraining, and the powers of evil take over, it will be a quick plunge into the darkest hour of the history of man. It won't last long at all. It'll be straight down into the abuso as far as the world is concerned. There are powerful men who have been in the media spotlight for many years who are waging a powerful war against the born-again believers. Steve Allen, Carl Sagan, Ed Asner, Norman Lear have been seeking to subvert the faith of many and to make Bible-believing Christians to look like someone who is bereft of their senses. Oh, how the powers of darkness long to take over the control of the world completely, but they can't yet. The Holy Spirit in the church is restraining. He is that restraining force in the world today, holding back the tide of evil that is building up and ready to flood over the earth. We're told in the Bible about two witnesses that God is going to send to the Jews in these last days after the church is gone. And they are quite possibly Moses and Elijah. We are told how they will be hated by the world. And if a person seeks to hurt either of these two witnesses, fire comes from their mouths and destroys them. Thus, the scripture said, are those to be killed who try to hurt these witnesses of God. You remember when Elijah was on the earth before, the king sent out a captain with the 50 men to bring him in as a prisoner. And he said, O thou man of God, come down. You know, the king has sent me to arrest you. And he said, I'm a man of God. Let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And fire came down and consumed him with his 50 men. King sent out another captain with 50. And same thing. Oh, thou man of God, you know, come on down. You're under arrest. If I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you with your 50 men. The third fellow was a little smarter. He said, I'm a family man, sir. And I'm under orders of the king. And I, you know, please, would you mind, you know, have mercy on me. But here again, anyone seeking to hurt them, fire comes out of their mouth, destroys them, and thus are they killed. However, the scripture said when they have completed their testimony, Then the beast will make war against them and overcome them and put them to death. But he can't do it until they've completed their testimony. When the church has completed its testimony, we are here to be a restraining force against the evil through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not through the political processes. That'll never work. This is a spiritual battle. And it is only through spiritual weapons that we'll ever have any hope of success. Satan loves to draw the Christian into the physical arena because he can make mincemeat out of you. Jesus said the children of this generation are wiser in this generation than the children of light. And if you try and go in and fight the political processes and all, look out, you're going to get just taken care of, but good. God has given us spiritual weapons. We need to use those. They are the only thing that we have of real force in this conflict. And God will preserve us until we have finished our testimony. And when the church has finished its testimony, then the Lord will remove his church. The restraining forces will be gone. And Satan will take over. The powers of darkness will be in full control. In Revelation chapter 5, John sees the church in heaven rejoicing over the victory of the Lamb and declaring the worthiness of the Lamb to take the scroll and to loose the seals, the title deed of the earth, to loose the seals. When Jesus takes this scroll, when he begins to loose the seals in chapter 6, notice the church is in heaven, chapter 5, rejoicing in the Lamb, declaring the worthiness because he has redeemed us by his blood out of every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, hath made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign with him on the earth. But then in chapter 6, when he begins to break the seals of this title deed to the earth, the first seal brings forth the Antichrist, coming forth to conquer and to conquer. The power of the Holy Spirit in the world is to restrain the power of the Antichrist from taking over. As soon as the Spirit of God within the church is removed, then the powers of darkness move in. So the Holy Spirit in our lives today is a very important factor in this world that is ready and willing to be taken over by the powers of darkness. The forces of darkness are in control now. I personally believe that they can't quite understand why the whole program can't be culminated. They've been attempting to, but I don't think that they even... Well, I think they're beginning to realize it because they're beginning to talk about the religious fanatics that are keeping back progress and world peace and all. So they're beginning to realize what it is. But they're ready to move. Me too. Ready to move. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Lord, we pray that we might be that purifying influence while we are here. Let us be, Lord, a strong witness for you. May we bear faithful testimony to the truth. And Lord, we pray that you will hasten the day that we might complete our testimony, that you might receive us out of this dark, black world in order, Lord, that those powers of sin might have their final day, in order that you might come and establish your kingdom of righteousness, light, joy, and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.